Good evening. This is Mae Bressel. The title of this program is 1 hour broadcast is World Watchers, and it's broadcast number 697, April the 15th, 1985. A friend from Kazoo, who usually works on Monday evening and can't hear the broadcast very often, listened last week to part of the broadcast and mentioned a subject which comes up over and over again with people who want to pick up on World Watchers but find it's too complicated. The names are hard to follow, and they feel like they're just lost in a swirlwind of information and facts they can't deal with. Well, their feeling is absolutely right, and they're not supposed to deal with it in that manner. You can't just pick it up like the evening news. You pick up a spot here and a spot there. It's not that kind of research, and it's not that kind of broadcasting. It's meant for people that want to listen every week. A friend will say, "What did you say the last half of the program? My phone rang." Well, when I want to hear something, I take the phone off the hook, or I just say, call back, period. If you want to follow it, there's ways to follow it. Those of you who do know that. If you can't be there at a time, you can get the tapes. If you can't tape it or somebody tape it for you, you can buy. The tapes are available. I don't sell them, but there are people that tape it off the air and make them available to other people. The instant understanding of news is absolutely impossible. Some friends turned me on to the cartoon Bloom County, which I haven't read regularly like I do Doonesbury. Burke Breathitt is the cartoonist. And just this last week, he had a picture of his penguin sitting on the steps of the public library saying, "Attention, dark world of electronic gratification. I would like to announce an intellectualization. No more TV, no more boob tube. I'm going to get smart," he said. "I'm going to learn something. I heard it's known as," in quotes, "to read." So he goes to the librarian and names some of the books he wants and the authors he wants and gets some information and says then, "Yeah, it'll be such a fabulous thing. I'll be allowed plenty of time, at least an hour." And then he looks at the book stacked up from floor to ceiling, overwhelming, and he says, "or three." And then the next scene shows him in front of the TV, munch, munch, it's easier to watch the tube. A lot of people don't watch TV or even own TV that don't listen to Mae Bressel. But the point is that if you want to, once you turn it on, you have to understand that you're in the middle of a complex mathematical problem. How is this country going to stay as a democracy when people who put in Mr. Franco in Spain, Mussolini in Italy, Hitler in Germany, want this country as a total dictatorship? Resources, labor, and everything that goes with it. So the understanding of that is a continuous subject. That's what I talk about. And there's no way that people can get any more than just an idea or an essence from any single broadcast. Also, there is a crazy idea about age, and I'll do more about that with Ronald Reagan's quotation about visiting Germany, that he thought that all those people alive, all those bad Nazis, at that time were dead now. Well, he knows differently than that. The San Francisco Chronicle has a story about the purchase, the soon-to-be purchase of a store named Gump's, famous in San Francisco for china and silver and artifacts, and a company from the East is interested in buying it, and then the Magnin family in San Francisco are interested in buying it, several members of the Magnin family. Cyril Magnin has two sons, and they're the people that would be interested in the purchase, but the man making the deal wanted to include Cyril Magnin in that if the Magnin family got it, and make him chairman emeritus of Gump's Incorporated. Cyril Magnin is the first cousin of my father. My father passed away at age 94, had all of his rockers, and was very powerful in Los Angeles in terms of religion and politics, even up till the time he died. Well, Cyril said, "No, I won't take over that job, even if it's sold to the family on the West Coast." He says, "I'm going to be 86 in July, and I want to start taking it easy." So he's going to step down. He's still chief of protocol for all foreign dignitary and people that come to San Francisco, but because he's 86, he's going to slow down. That was just in the paper today, and it's applicable to some of the things Reagan's been saying about the old Nazis being dead, when today they're actually in positions of power, more power than they just had in Germany, because they have access worldwide and can go all over the world and be accepted as financiers, as scientists, as dignitaries, where before they just represented that awful man, Adolf Hitler. Now, six senators went to visit the Pope this past Easter recess when Congress was out. One of them was Paul Laxalt, the darling of the Hughes Corporation, the close pal of Robert Keith Gray, and I'll be doing weeks of Keith Gray continuously. I hope I'll have time to do that. But Laxalt was there. He was one of the six senators visiting the popes. Other members of the group were Strom Thurmond, whose wife worked or still works for Robert Keith Gray, James McClure of Idaho, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, and Larry Pressler of South Dakota. But the important thing is that the Pope was talking to them again, to Mr. Thurmond and Mr. Dole and Mr. Paul Laxalt, senators, I should say, not misters, but I think of them more as not representing our country, really. He was castigating them on abortions and telling them about the millions of men and women yet unborn, the monumental contribution they could make. And the important thing is that he cited to them the Constitution and that the United States must remain faithful because we are, as it is stated, one nation under God, our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, liberty and justice for all. But it is very important to make this point that this nation is not under a Catholic God. This nation is not under a Roman Empire God. Organizations such as the Masons, the Grand Masons, and other secret societies were formed to get away from the Roman Empire, to get away from the oppression. In the year 1000, the Roman Empire were burning alive and drowning alive people that were rioting or labor leaders organizing for higher wages in Belgium. In the year 1000, the Inquisition came along 400 years later. People fled Europe to come to this country to get away from the prejudices of specifically the Roman Empire and its cruelty and the way that you had to think Catholic. Now, our nation under God with liberty and justice for all does not mean a Roman God. It could be Baptist, it could be Protestant, it could be Jewish, it could be Muslim, it could be anything. If your God happens to be a redwood tree, I think that I feel more religious under a redwood tree than I do in the houses of worship, and I spend my holidays either at Point Lobos or Big Sur. But that's my privilege. I still believe in God who made the oak trees and the redwood trees. Whatever turns you on to feel religious is your God. But for him to go home and tell these six senators, you know, to keep stopping abortions and decisions over our bodies and our minds because our God is his God is a total obscuring of the fact that John Paul II, the Auschwitz Pope, the I.G. Farben Pope, is not the one that our Constitution was made up of. In fact, our founding fathers, I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong and write to me, not a single one of them was a Roman Catholic. Most of them were Grand Masons, 33-degree Masons. But I don't believe any single one, and even as late as the 30s when Mr. Alfred Smith was running for president, there was so much anti-Catholic feeling. The Klan was anti-Catholic. I don't know if they still are or not. But to say you go home and stop abortions because you're under God and he is the God, his interpretation is God, forget it. Now here I have two articles along religious lines, three actually to follow that I've titled About Time. Two of them about time. Two members of Congress have introduced legislation to prohibit private individuals or groups to aid counter-revolutionary forces in Nicaragua or anywhere else when Congress has barred this activity. That is exactly what I was talking about by separation of church and state. And I would ask people who are listening to this broadcast to write to these congressmen, Representative Mel Levine, he's from Los Angeles, a Democrat, write to him in Washington, or Jim Leach, Republican from Iowa. There's a Democrat and a Republican. Send copies of my tapes. If you have duplicators, copy the sheets that go with the broadcast and support this legislation. Representative Mel Levine and Representative Jim Leach, a Democrat and a Republican, said at a news conference that their bill is aimed to toughening what is the Neutrality Act, which forbids military aid by private parties to foreign groups and subjects the offenders to a $250,000 fine and 3 years in jail. Now, the private parties are the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Army of the Vatican, for one thing, John Singh Laub and the World Anti-Communist League, and his headquarters in Taiwan and South Korea and Asia, Southeast Asia. This article from the San Jose Mercury, it was on the wire service, says Levine said the legislation would target individuals such as former Treasury Secretary William E. Simon, who recently is putting up $50 million or $100 million to help the Jesse Helms, the Aubusson fascist network take over CBS. They named W.R. Grace and Chairman J. Peter Grace. He's the head of the Knights of Malta in the United States, and Simon is a Knight of Malta. And Prescott Bush, the brother of Vice President George Bush, another Knight of Malta. They are giving aid to the Nicaragua Contras. William Simon, reached by telephone, reacted angrily, saying, "Nothing ever surprises me at what some of those jackasses in Washington will say. Simon, Grace, and Bush are members of Americare." He said they simply ship food and medical supplies around the world, which was an outright lie. They are fascist to the raw bone and working for the military part of the Vatican that I've talked about. Nobody's going to have anything to do with what food we send, Simon said. Well, if you feed all the food for the Contras in Nicaragua, then, as I said before on a broadcast, then they have the money to buy guns. If you buy all the houses for the Contras and you buy their cars and gasoline and their airplanes or buy all their immediate needs, then they can, the cash is released to buy the weapons. Simon says that he says nobody is going to interfere with what we're doing. Representative Levine told reporters that the purpose of the bill is to ensure that once Congress enacts clear foreign policy legislation, it must not be undermined by private citizens conducting a contrary foreign policy. That's exactly what I was saying to you on these broadcasts, that it is outrageous. And it can't get out of hand that when Congress says these people torture, these people are cruel, they're not using our money the way they said they would, or they're using it the way they think we want it to be done by a few people like Mr. Aubusson and Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond and Paul Laxalt and William Simon and that clique and J. Peter Grace. This bill would try, I don't know what will happen, but they introduced legislation to prohibit private individuals when Congress has said we can't send it. Then you get together and say, well, we don't need Congress. That is what I said, is a government behind a government. I can scream my head off on these subjects, but two members of Congress have taken action, and by tomorrow evening, I will have written and sent some tapes to them. Now, another hearing is taking place for a judge to decide, and this is from the New York Times. The other was the San Jose Mercury, March 20th, 1985. New York Times, March 16, 1986. Philadelphia, judge hears suit on Vatican. Federal District Judge John P. Fullam, F-U-L-L-A-M, heard oral arguments here today in a suit by a coalition of religious groups. The coalitions are Presbyterians, Baptists, Unitarians, Church of Christ, Church of the Brethren, and a Roman Catholic group called the National Coalition of American Nuns. There's not even a Jewish group here that I know of, or they're not mentioned. They're too dumb to do anything about it. But the chosen people are chosen to be ignorant, I think. But this is a coalition of religious groups who took before the judge, Judge Fullam, the issue of whether we should have a diplomatic arrangement with the Vatican at this time. Deputy Assistant Attorney General Carolyn Kuhl, K-U-H-L, argued for the government, saying that the suit should be dismissed. She's representing Ronald Reagan and Vernon Walters and William Casey and the whole CIA gang, Alexander Haig, that we need, William Wilson, we need that envoy to the Vatican. She said the court shouldn't have any jurisdiction over naming any diplomat, and the plaintiffs had no standing in the matter because they couldn't prove they were injured by the action. If we can prove that the Knights of Malta and William Wilson injured the United States because they send money when Congress said it can't be sent, maybe we can write to these particular people and show them the injuries. Lee Boothby, B-O-O-T-H-B-Y, Boothby, a lawyer representing Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Some of you might call who are in the East long-distance call information. Ask for Attorney Lee Boothby. Americans United for Separation of Church and State said that the establishment of diplomatic relations enhanced the ability of the Roman Catholic Church to compete in the religious marketplace and violated the constitutional ban on government support for religion. The group are based in Washington. Oh, that's where you call Lee Boothby in Washington. It's an organization of church groups and laymen. Congress banned formal diplomatic ties with the Vatican as far back as 1867. But in November 1983, Ronald Reagan appointed William Wilson, that's the man in charge of his own personal financial affairs, a Knight of Malta, put in there by Robert Keith Gray, who wanted William Wilson, a Knight of Malta, as an envoy, and J. Peter Grace is the head of the Knights of Malta in the United States, making them the Knights of Malta. In their brief, the government attorney contends the Vatican holds sovereignty over small territory in Rome, and among other nations, it has formal diplomatic relations. These other religions claim that this should end, and it should end. For example, NBC had a program with Jane Pauley and Brian Gumbel, Rome Easter with the Vatican and Big Pictures. Well, NBC is a client of Robert Keith Gray, and the Pope gets all this publicity as if that's the only religion in the world, and they do get the maximum amount of quotations, pictures, interviews, such as at Easter meeting with Strom Thurmond and Senator Dole and Paul Waxall, three of the powerhouse of Congress and three of the younger ones that'll follow in their tracks, so that no other heads of states, churches, are greeting these people or have their own passports or their own postage stamps, such as the Knights of Malta, so that the Vatican is everywhere making foreign policy and influencing the way our government goes. Now, there's another story in the Monterey Herald yesterday, Associated Press, you might have seen it, April 14th, gold plating alleged on military bases. This is while Ronald Reagan is cutting back domestic funds. He has requested to spend $226 million on 26 military bases, and the construction involves such things. This article says, in South Korea, we are apparently going to settle in for one more 35 years. That'll be 70 years in South Korea, 1950, and add 35 to that. It said the group is asking, Ronald Reagan is asking, for $2.15 million, almost $2.25 million, for a chapel in South Korea. A chapel. It used to be wooden frame house chapels. They have to have a $2 million chapel in South Korea on the Army base and for religious education center in South Korea, and then $1.2 million for a family housing management office. Not the housing itself, but the office is over $2 million. But there's your chapel over there. Now, one other item that pertains to all of this and is interwoven with three stories that I am not going to do now. I want to get on to Ronald Reagan and the ceremonies in Germany and his Nazi friends. But there are three items, big stories in the news that each will take a broadcast or two or three of their own. I want to continue the Grace Kelly story. I just started last week and had to stop. I ran out of time. I want to continue the control of the news media, the people strangling it, how Metro Media is moving in and almost merging to buy up the Phil Donahue Show and these other syndicated programs, with, again, William Simon involved with Metro Media as well with CBS. I want to go back to the Vatican, the mafia, the gun running. Little Grace Kelly from the Philadelphia Irish Catholic, the so-called Princess of Monaco, and I want to go into what happens when the Hollywood Philadelphia princess runs into the big time. Big time being the Vatican, the Pope, the mafia, the gun running, and the Nazis. What happens is you get your head bashed. That happened to Irish Catholic John Kennedy from the other part of town, who wasn't so fancy at one time, wants to be president of the United States, or his brother Robert Kennedy. But also, because there may be a death in the news this week, I don't want to pass up and mention, because I want to do many, several hours on this, the sickness of the president-elect Tancredo Neves, N-E-Y-E-S, who underwent his sixth surgery in Brazil. He may still be hanging in here by next week. He may have died by next week. the story last report on him just last week was Brazil president-elect condition getting worse. He's extremely unstable, and the doctor said now more than ever, his recovery will be depend on his own body's capacity to fight back. And the people there were crying outside the hospital, and there was a quote in the San Jose Mercury, all our hopes for a better life depend on Tancredo, and they're there praying every day, pharmacists, nurses, and so forth. Now, in 1964, right after Kennedy was killed by Permandex and that Centro Mundial Comercial and that network of William Stevenson and William Donovan and William Casey and RCIA, when Permandex operated in the United States in November 63, they went down to Brazil and by February put in a military dictatorship. And so for the first time since 1964, a president was elected to represent the people, if he could, in Brazil at a time of terrible debts. And what happened was that the day of his inauguration, he was supposed to be sworn in, he got sick. They thought it was appendicitis. It turned out to be a stomach problem. Then it went to his infections in his body, and his lung was filled with water, and he's been fighting. They had to do tracheotomy and so forth. And every day, he has been getting worse and worse. The day that he was supposed to be sworn in, the vice president was sworn in. Attending the ceremonies were George Bush, allegedly Henry Kissinger, the team that have been behind these assassinations and coups, the Vatican team, with Mr. Bush there, which was horrendous. Vernon Walters was responsible for the coup in the first place as CIA down there. Now he's been nominated to be U.S. representative at the United Nations. The scandals of Brazil were just going to evolve and open, and the vice president was sworn in at the ceremonies, and the president was in the hospital. The story broke in the Washington Post, March 31st, on Brazilian bank regime crumbles. And this is practically the wealthiest man in Brazil, who was a friend of Ronald Reagan's, who's a business partner with William Simon, the Knight of Malta, who is a former associate and worked closely with Bechtel Corporation and George Shultz. This financier owes hundreds of millions of dollars. His empire is collapsing. He's going to go to jail. He's like Licio Gelli, putting money behind and with Ronald Reagan, recognized him and set up his trips. He's behind in $545 million loan of a shipping company. He owns the shipyard and the taxes. Over $4 or $5 million he owes to the Brazilian government just in taxes. The shipyard has a debt of $291 million. He's one of the largest financiers, as I say, close to William Simon, again, the Knight of Malta. And down at this terrible so-called inauguration of the man, he was in the hospital, George Bush, former director of the CIA, whose family, Prescott Bush, works closely with William Simon, and Alexander Haig, and Claire Luce, as I say, and J. Peter Grace, and the whole team of the Knights of Malta, Vernon Walters, William Casey, just when he's to become president, just when he's about to open up the scandal, just when he's to get Mr. Garnero, who for years has gotten away with sinking their debt into $10 billion, the Brazilian debt, Mario Bernardo Garnero. The story's in the Washington Post, and I'll do a lot more, but I just wanted to mention his name because he might pass away this week. As I say, he might hang in there. He might even survive, but what I want to summarize in the point I'm trying to make is that when you get to be head of state, whether you're the little Grace Kelly or little John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy or this poor Mr. Garnero who's in the hospital, not Garnero, the president of Brazil, who is so sick and in the hospital now, what chance do you have? The power structure won't let you get well. They won't let you run the country. They let you have the debts, such as in Argentina. And then when a democracy comes in, they say, look at the debts. We're going to clamp down on you. So while President-elect Tancredo Neves, N-E-V-E-S, is trying to survive his sixth surgery and has bacteria and toxins in his blood, he could have a relapse. And the whole enclave that worked from putting the Shah in power and getting Mossadegh out are working in 1985 exactly like they worked before. The guy hardly has a chance, you know, to get these crooks, the business partner, William Simon. Simon is there with the Metro Media. He's there with the CBS and Jesse Helms and Dobison. He's down in Brazil. And he's the one who is saying, when he's mentioned in this bill to stop his power in Congress, you know, those jackasses in Congress trying to tell me what to do. I'm William Simon. Well, it's about time somebody looked at these people, those names that I say over and over again, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with them now. And anytime you see their name in a news story, and I might have missed it, do as you always do, or most of you do, and send it to me. And then one final thing before I get to Ronald Reagan, and it isn't separate from his Nazi friend, Mr. Heinz, H-E-I-N-Z-E, Kissinger, that was his name, Heinz Kissinger. Henry Kissinger has joined a new public relations firm in Washington, D.C. This is the Washington Post, April the 4th. This is what the story says by Chuck Conconi. Someday soon, the public relations industry is going to truly run the world. Someday soon, it is going to run the world. That is what I have said for years, that Mullen Association that was visible at the time of Watergate is the Howard Hughes Organization. It is CIA. It is that office away from the White House that can do what Congress can't do, such as sending James McCord, G. Gordon Liddy, and E. Howard Hunt to forge State Department documents, to lie about cables and history, to break into offices, to fix congressmen up with prostitutes, to photograph their bedroom scenes, to dunk them into a river up at Chappaquiddick, to blow their heads off. Those public relations offices do the work. The next takeover from Mullen Associates is Robert Keith Gray. But this article says, soon public relations will run the world. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, consultant to presidents, and any number of other things, has become a consultant to Burson Marsteller, the biggest public relations firm in the world. Burson, B-U-R-S-O-N, dash, Marsteller, M-A-R-S, like Mars and Star Wars, S-T-E-L-L-E-R. Mars is the goal of Alternative 3. Stellar is Fritz Kramer, the Star Wars, the mentor, the partner with Daniel Graham, the mentor of Henry Kissinger. I wonder if Mars Stellar is a conjunction name put together. I'd like to see Mr. Mars Stellar. This is the biggest public relations firm in the world. It has a large office in Washington, D.C. It's rapidly expanding in the area of political and legislative consultation. They will tell our congressmen, I guess via the prostitutes and whatever, how to vote. Henry Kissinger's office announced that he will soon be a partner there. He also runs Kissinger Associates with former partner Lord Carrington, who's now the head of NATO. So again, Kissinger ties up all the little packages and parcels of this world. He and his Fritz Kramer are numero uno, in my mind, pulling the strings on people like Ronald Reagan or George Bush or even, you know, Jerry Ford. And you see Jimmy Carter, the conference they had last week in Georgia. The numero uno is Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger. And now he joins this group on matters political and legislative. You know what he did in South America, Central America, Asia, the Middle East. What expertise can he offer these countries? So this is from the Washington Post. If he were not alive today, Ivy Lee, the father of public relations, would be amazed to see what he hath wrought. If he were alive, a man named Ivy Lee was the father of public relations, and after announcing that Kissinger is in there, they say he would be amazed to see what he hath wrought. Well, we'll be amazed to see what Kissinger does with that office. This is another horrendous step of another piece of power. The minute there's a conference in Atlanta, Kissinger's on the news. The minute there is an opinion in a congressman go to the Soviet Union to meet with Gorbachev, Kissinger is on CNN, Ted Turner's program with Freeman Reports for an hour. Kissinger is everywhere. ABC, CBS, NBC, cable news, every conference, public relations, and now he will goad these people to push the policies, which are the policies of Xi of Pakistan, of Pinochet of Chile, of Jung Kaja, can't pronounce his name, the president of South Korea, I should know it by now, I read it enough, but never even bother to spell it out. I should. That's a terrible mistake. But I think Papa Doc in Haiti, and the work Henry Kissinger does is with every dictatorship. So he's got one more foot in the largest public relations firm now to advise in political and lobbying work with politicians, not only in the United States, but heads of states all over Europe. We'll take a one-minute break here and then go on to Ronald Reagan and the turmoil or the problem of controversy, his visiting the graves of the Gestapo, honoring the SS Gestapo when he goes to visit Germany.